Paul Manassian and Steve Statler, A Good Traveler Leaves No Trace, subtitled Offsetting Carbon Emissions Through the Good Traveler Program, Episode 11 on the Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast.
I'm Mayela Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us. Hi there, my name is Mayela Manassian and I'm your host with Tiny Climate Challenge. Today, I've invited two guest experts onto the show. First, I'd like to welcome my hubby, Mr. Paul Manassian, and a dear friend of ours, Mr. Steve Statler, to talk about carbon offsets and the Good Traveler Program. Welcome.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Real privilege.
Thank you, darling.
Why don't you each take a moment to introduce your fabulous selves? We'll start with Steve.
Okay. Hello. I'm Steve Statler, and I am a climate civilian. So I work with Paul, and we help to set up the Good Traveler, which is a carbon offsetting program. But I wouldn't say that I'm a dyed-in-the-wool environmentalist. I just kind of stumbled into it and thought it was a good idea, and it ended up just pulling me in. And I've never escaped the gravity of trying to get as carbon neutral as I can.
Good. And this is Paul here. I come from an environmental background. I probably spent 30 years in the environmental field. A lot of that was in the regulatory arena. But my last job was with San Diego International Airport, where for over 13 years I was the environmental affairs manager, where the program we're going to be talking about originated and is branded by San Diego International Airport.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on for this particular topic. You've left quite a legacy at the Airport Authority, where I'd actually like to clarify that you were the director. You mentioned manager.
Manager.
We need
or
to
director.
give yourself a little more credit than that.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has been a while. And Steve, I've always known you to be an incredible environmental champion. So thank you both for coming here today. Why don't we just start off with the very basics and talk about why air travel is harmful to the planet?
Well, I will kind of address this in a manner how it evolved in the aviation industry. And back in about 2005, the airport and airline industry were trying to address this perception that air travel was a major contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. And so the argument was like, no, we're only about 25%, maybe 5%, and it may be growing. So that was the initial part of what happened in the airline and the airport industry, I should say, that kind of raised the awareness of sustainability. And airports started having programs for sustainability, renewable energy, low emissions transportation, those type of things, to address what they could on the ground with regards to greenhouse emissions. Because to date, there's really no alternative. You don't have electric aircraft yet, or other kind of non-emitting type of aviation type of transportation. So that was kind of what really initiated at the airports. And now you can see like airports are leaders in sustainability in a lot of their communities.
Can I chip in here?
Absolutely.
So, I ended up, getting into this when I worked at Qualcomm. So my day job is as a technologist and, conscious of the environment, and the thing that really struck me was, you know, we can do all sorts of things as individuals to reduce our carbon footprint. We can do composting and all that sort of good stuff. But then we go on a flight to somewhere exotic on our holiday, and we've just massively blown out our carbon footprint. It's essentially doubled just through one flight. And those of us who live in tech, we're trying to fly less because it's expensive, but there is no substitute for face-to-face contact and getting to know people. And so you're pulled into this. And then if you have family all over the world, which I happen to, you can hear my British accent, I'm in America. And so I end up traveling because of that. And so we're kind of caught in this area where we can try and reduce our air travel, but we very often end up doing it anyway. And it can double, treble, quadruple our footprint, even though air travel is actually an efficient way of covering the miles. If you have a choice of flying up to San Francisco or driving in a car, then you should fly because it is more efficient, assuming the aircraft's full, and which generally they are these days. But it's just the sheer number of miles you can travel and all of that fuel that's being burnt. And so if we want to reduce our footprint, we need to figure out what to do about it. And there's not much that it's tough. It's not like we're going to have electric planes anytime soon. There are biofuels, but they're really expensive. And so we're kind of stuck in this position where we're addicted to travel. We're trying to wean ourselves off it, but we have to live in the reality of what we can say, kind of cover our eyes and say, the best thing to do is not to travel, not to fly, but we're in a world where people do. So how do we deal with that reality? And I think that was really the genesis of The Good Traveler.
Well, I was just about to ask you that, but before we get into that, mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you brought up this whole topic of the need for travel. And I don't have family all over the world, but I do enjoy traveling. Paul and I enjoy traveling to new places together. I often describe or tell people that I have, and apparently there's like a gene now that has been discovered, that a travel gene, I guess, that I blame my mom for. She passed it down to me. And I feel the need, a strong drive to migrate like an animal would, like to get in an airplane and fly somewhere that I've never been before every year. And when I get to wherever I'm chosen, I love to meet the people that live there and eat the foods that they eat and learn their language and, you know, just really explore the culture. And both Paul and I kind of have that love of travel and connecting with other people, but it seems so silly to me. And, you know, I've had to take a hard look at my life and, you know, the things that I enjoy, because I also care very deeply about the environment and my own carbon footprint. And so you're right, there is a whole new movement now where a lot of folks are refusing to fly. And I guess one great example is Greta Thunberg, who just came to the U.S. on a sailboat because she doesn't want to fly anywhere anymore.
And the sailing that's really optimal. If you decide you want to go on a boat that's powered through oil, then that's like the worst thing. It's just, you know, I'm going to go on the Queen Mary, then you just chose probably the most polluting way of getting across the Atlantic. So for those of us that can't sail, we need to figure out, do we really need to do this? And then if the answer is, yep, we're going to do it, then what do we do then?
Right. Honey, I think we need to take up sailing.
Okay. I'm all for it. Unfortunately, now that the other thing that adds to our footprint is we actually now live in Mexico, that we're broadcasting from San Diego County. And we come back and forth. But I agree with you, Myla, that it's something that is just, it's a reality. We live in a global environment now. Businesses are global. Steve's company is centered in Israel, right?
That's right.
And we rely on those interconnections, those abilities to travel and communicate, not just for pleasure, but for business. It's very much a global economy that we live in. I would like to add, though, again, there are other ways to address our personal carbon footprint. And yes, it's true that aircraft travel does and will increase as more travel occurs. in the overall footprint to about 10% of overall. But other forms of transportation that rely on fossil fuels produce a lot more emissions, especially in individual automobiles and relying on fossil fuels for power. So, I mean, there's ways to look at it. There's things we can do on the ground. At the airports now, you'll find there's a lot of electric vehicle chargers. And I was just admiring Steve's new Tesla. One day, Steve, I'll be there with you. One day. But now we started putting in chargers at San Diego International Airport a few years back, and we don't know how many people are. Now you go to the airport, we have over 40 chargers, and it's difficult to find one that's available because electric vehicle is becoming a reality, more and more so, and as the technology advances. But again, as Steve mentioned, we can't really, you know, take chances in the air. True. As we can with vehicles that travel on the surface of the earth. So it will be a while before we can make aviation fully sustainable. But in the interim, we can do what's called offset our emissions. And to understand what offsetting is, which is the Good Traveler Program, you are contributing your money to projects that actually reduce carbon emissions, such as clean energy, solar projects, wind power projects, other things that actually sequester carbon out of the atmosphere. And the benefit added to that too, it develops those type of businesses and technologies to make them economically feasible in the future. And we're seeing that happen already. We're seeing renewable energy becoming competing with traditional energy sources as far as cost of production. So you'll hear people say, oh, well, that's just an offset. I'm still causing emissions. Yes, that's true, but you're helping for the development of alternative energy sources when you do offset.
I think that's a really good point. And one of the things that I think was done right for the Good Traveler Program was to provide a whole set of different projects that the money could go to, and then providing the data and the information at a very high level, but also a very detailed level if people want it, about the projects that are funded. And they're very cool projects. As you said, it funds a wind farm, there's a forestry project, there's methane capture projects. And the essence of a voluntary offset is...
That's methane for you Americans.
The essence, I started learning about this offsetting concept when I was at Qualcomm as a result of an assignment I got from the CEO. We can go back and explore that if we want to, but I ended up learning about the power of these funds to drive change. And there's been a lot of controversy and debate about carbon offsets, but the key thing is a good quality carbon offset will have audited additionality, which means the money is going to a project that wouldn't have happened without that money being there. So no one wants to give money to a wind farm that makes the wind farm owner just richer. So there's a whole set of really stringent, auditable criteria that go into all of the projects that the Good Traveler funds. And at one point, we were funding some amazing forestry projects in parts of the world where forests are being burnt in favor of farming. That's something that's been in the news a lot recently. And a carbon offset program can basically fund the purchase of that land and make sure that the trees are not chopped down. And the operation of these projects is very strictly controlled. And there's an overhead to that. You actually have to pay for the documentation to be done and for auditors to go in. But the cool thing about the Good Traveler is if we can tempt you to go to thegoodtraveler.org, you'll see all the projects that are being funded if you decide to use the program. And you can see them at a high level. there's the pictures, it'll give you the essence of what it is. If you then want to drill down, you'll get another level of detail of the projects. If you want to drill down again, you'll see the auditor reports. You'll see chapter and verse, hundreds of pages that document the details of what the project is and how it is reducing the carbon footprint and the audit report of a third party whose job it is to make sure that these things are real.
Well, I'm so glad to learn all of this about the Good Traveler. It's interesting because in the past few months, I've had several people approach me and ask me about the Good Traveler program, not knowing that I had this connection to either of you. And so it pleased me actually to be able to tell them, well, actually, my husband, he helped start this at the airport. And then when I asked Paul if we could do a podcast on this very topic, I said, hey, why don't you come on? And he said, no, he said, I don't want to come on by myself. He said, Steve has to come on here with me because we co-founded the Good Traveler together. So
yeah, it was a wonderful, project. That collaborative approach and, Paul's, inclusive approach to, airports are a very large bureaucracies. Getting something done in that environment is very difficult. And, I was very impressed by the commitment to doing the right thing at the San Diego International Airport. It started off, with Robert Gleason at the time, who was the chairman, who actually called me up because he'd heard from someone else, Nathan Fletcher, actually, that I had studied up on this stuff. And so I think it started at the top. But it's a large organization, diverse opinions about what they should and shouldn't be doing. And what Paul did was he brought people together and he did the judo that you need to do to direct the force for good, the forces that operate in that sort of environment, and made what was an idea and a suggestion that was made to the executive team there at the time, and actually managed to pull together all these very diverse people and made it a reality. And since San Diego Airport created the program and started to offer it to individual travelers and to use it themselves to offset their own carbon footprint and got to zero carbon footprint for the ground operations there. They're one of two airports in the United States that have done that.
Congratulations, San Diego International Airport.
That was an incredible achievement. And a lot of it was done just by cutting the carbon footprint, putting in the electric cars, making things more efficient. But then you get to the end of it and there's still carbon that can't be reduced. And so they put a lot of their own money, the revenue that came in from the ticket sales and the gate fees that the airlines pay, to go to these projects. So they offer the Good Traveler to us as individuals. You go to goodtraveler.com. It literally takes 60 seconds to offset your flight. I did it today because I was coming on this show. And so this is your tiny climate challenge works because I'm like, I need to eat my own dog food. I need to because we're going up to San Francisco. My niece is up in San Francisco. My wife, my son, and I are going up there, and it's a return fare. Guess how much it took to offset 100% of the carbon footprint for that flight? So it's what, 1,000 mile, best part of
$4.
It's actually $2 each, so it's $6 in total, which was about 1% of the cost of the flight, like a 0.5% of the cost of the weekend. So is that too much to ask to travel?
That's the
neutral
cost of a latte.
Not at all. And in fact, I think a lot of the mission of the Good Traveler is not only to allow people to take action for their own emissions by offsetting their travel, but it's also a means to educate people about what is a carbon offset. If you go to the website, there's a whole frequently asked questions about, what is a carbon offset? Where does this money go? Blah, blah, blah. And what Steve's talking about, the certification process to say that this is a legitimate offset that you can actually, that is measured and tracked and by a third party. But the thing too is people start to realize it's only a couple of bucks? I thought it'd be a fortune. No, It's not. As like you say, Mael, it's the cost of a latte. So I think I could sacrifice, you know, for the world instead of me having a latte today. Or maybe I'll have a latte and I'll offset. We can do that too.
And actually, you can do that because one of our early partners in the airport, someone who helped us get it off the ground, was Carmine Ryan of the Ryan Brothers, local coffee roasters, very, very thoughtful about what they do, sustainable coffee, fair trade, and so forth. And they, if you don't want to use a website, go to either of the Ryan Brothers outlets in either Terminal 1 or Terminal 2 before you get to security, and you can buy your carbon offset with your latte, and they'll even give you a little sticker that you can use, and you can stick it on your forehead or on your suitcase or wherever you want, and hopefully spread the word about how people can fly sustainably.
And the airport now actually has other vendors participating in the program, as well as partners within the community. For example, Paradise Point Resort, which I had the opportunity to visit.
They're here in San Diego.
Earlier this year, they provide an eco package for their guests to offset their travel to San Diego to stay at their resort. And the same thing is with Torrey Pines,
the lodge.
Actually, Robert Gleason, who was the board of the airport chair at the time that Steve and I did our collaborations and working together. He's actually CEO of Evans Hotels. And so the Catamaran, as well as the Torrey Pines, Resort at Torrey Pines, the Lodge at Torrey Pines, those are all offer those offsets for people that come to visit them. So it's very much, that's another aspect of this. It's about of partnering with the community, finding ways to connect with destination points and getting them to, again, every little node within the transportation pathway is an opportunity to educate people about the impact of travel on carbon emissions in the world. So I think that's an important thing. But I'd also like to mention too, and one thing that really, none of this can happen without collaboration, without work. This is not a one-person thing. That's why Steve had to be here, because it would not be fair. I did not, you know, it was like I would call it co-creating, right? Mm-hmm. And we had a team together, both of Qualcomm and with the airport, and we sat down, I kind of came up with the name, The Good Traveler, because I'm really into Eastern philosophy,
yes.
And that comes out of Lao Tzu.
Your motto was to leave no trace.
The good traveler leaves no trace. So,
which could also
it seems
be
so apropos.
It could be interpreted as a Boy Scouts thing. So, if you're not into Eastern philosophy and you want to say, it's not for me, then who can be against the Boy Scouts? They have a similar motto.
Well, I was a Boy Scout and I am a Buddhist. So, I'm a Buddhist Boy Scout.
Can I just mention one other thing? Yeah, part of,
please.
I think, your podcast is about what can people do to make a difference. And so, obviously, going to Good Traveler, 60 seconds, double click on Apple Pay if you've got an Apple phone, or just put your credit card in there. It's very easy to offset your own travel. But probably you can do more, and it won't cost you a penny. You can nudge your marketing VP or someone in his staff of your company and say, look, we do a lot of travel and we're trying to position ourselves as being more than just about making profits. And there's this now, this move to balance the stakeholders in companies, the community and the staff, as well as the shareholders. Why don't we set an example and have our company invest in carbon offsets so that our travel as a company can not be destroying the planet? So when I left, and I think one thing that we should say is certainly I'm no longer involved in running The Good Traveler. It's now been handed off to some amazing people, your successor, Brendan Reed, and his team.
Absolutely.
In the airport, and the Rocky Mountain Institute, which is an incredible nonprofit organization, has taken that on and they're running it.
Right. They're actually running it now, and they've helped with develop the website.
They've also expanded the carbon calculator program.
They've expanded that. Yes. And this is something that also, this was a long process because it took, I hired Steve to help develop a base for a contract or request for proposal that various parties could apply for. And one of them was Rocky Mountain Institute. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, hey, we're not going to give you any money to do this. You got to figure out how to do this. And Rocky Mountain being a nonprofit and this being part of their mission as well to address in particular aviation. And when you think of Sir Richard Branson, who's a major contributor to the Carbon War Room, which mm-hmm. is partnered with Rocky Mountain Institute, it was very much in their mission. And so it was just a natural for the Rocky Mountain Institute to take it over. And they're still running it now.
Yes.
And it's been expanded. San Diego International Airport owns the copy, basically the trademark, the Good Traveler. Mm-hmm. But they don't charge for it. But they just, you know, kind of – they want to maintain some kind of control so that it doesn't go south mm-hmm. on anyone. And we now have 16 other participating airports that are part of it. In fact, Atlanta International Airport this last year offset the entire Super Bowl.
I love that.
All the travel to the Super Bowl. City of Atlanta did that through the Good Traveler and through the Good Traveler program at the Atlanta International Airport. So.
And the New York airports, all the New York airports, San Francisco airport, Seattle airport.
Dallas is a big one too.
DFW. So great to see how the program has grown.
And, you know, I must do a plug for Steve because Steve was the first. He convinced his company to offset all their travel. And they were the first, our first commercial company that actually committed to offsetting through the Good Traveler. And now we have other organizations doing that as well.
So, Wiliot is the company I work for. We're a semiconductor maker, as you said, headquartered in Israel. And so I have to go back and forth. And what I would say is it's been very easy for us to join the program. We estimate our travel for the year, and we make four payments, the few hundred dollars. We're a startup, so we're not huge. But really, the overhead is minimal. In terms of time, and it's minimal in terms of cost. And so I think I would encourage anyone who feels like they work at a company that is trying to do better and do right by the environment and by their community to join the program. There's no reason not to do it. Then you can put the Good Traveler logo on your company's website. Hopefully other people will see it and they will and they'll join in.
Yes. In fact, we're now the new executive directors of a meditation retreat center in Mexico. And we have decided to offset all of the travel to our environmental programs that we offer for all those participants through the Good Traveler.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah. It's very simple to do. And I guess I have a question about the offset, the projects. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people have some consternation about purchasing carbon offsets to then fund a reforestation project somewhere across the world. Are there any plans to localize those carbon offsets within the communities that the airports are located in?
That's a very good question, and that is very much has been a request of local politicians. They want this money going to the local region.
Yeah.
But it's difficult
because
it's, as Steve mentioned, it's not easy to actually to go through the certification process. Mm-hmm. And you also need to make it worthwhile. It needs to be a considerable amount of impact. You've got to be able to offer an adequate enough of offsets to actually make it feasible to do it. And so that's why it's more in remote, like forestation projects. Mm-hmm. But what we now, what the Good Traveler offers are all domestic projects. So you can actually go online and see what these projects are all about. And there's a discussion on each one of the projects, whether it's a wind farm in Idaho or reforestation project in Northern California. You can look at it and see what it's all about.
The one thing that I didn't, because I have purchased carbon offsets through the Good Traveler, is I don't think you have a choice, though. You just have these various projects. And so if I am particularly excited about reforestation, I don't think I have a choice on where to put my dollars. So
that's true at the moment. So yeah. I think this is a good spur for us to get more people using it, because it's all a matter of scale. If you were to spread your contributions across too many projects, then basically it becomes very difficult to administer and scale. The offsets become more expensive, and so less people are inclined to do it. So it's kind of a balance. But when we started the program, then the vision was always to allow people to exercise that choice. And so I see a future where you can absolutely direct your funds, but that won't happen until we get more people using the system.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, get back to you too, on there is an effort, a continued effort about to find more local offset projects. And there has been discussions with such things as, like, there's certain organizations like Alternative Grid, I believe is one of them.
Oh, Grid Alternatives.
Grid Alternative,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That we've had discussions with them, and they offer energy efficiency, renewable energy projects for low income communities. So there are possibilities to actually produce some of these kind of projects. And maybe they don't necessarily have to be certified in a certain through mm-hmm. the carbon market. It could be another unit that could be of value, such as urban forestation projects. The city of San Diego is very interested in planting more trees, and maybe
yes.
there's a possibility of how much money, you know, contributions of that could be go towards planting a couple of trees. And it makes me think too, the other value of the Good Traveler, and it gets back to, we made it easy for people to understand what a carbon offset is at the pricing, because we had it, we actually kind of created a currency or an equivalent value, right, for one of these stickers. So, and it's for 1,000 air miles and 500 road miles. You can also offset your road travel as well. But I think now what they've done is combined it to make it a $2 contribution for mm-hmm. each.
Yeah, it's $2 for 1,000 miles,
yeah.
$1 for 500. And
right.
I actually can't remember the number of road miles it is, but it's something like a couple hundred road miles is what it's the equivalent to. So making it simple, basically allowing people to buy something for $1 or $2. I think simplicity is the key, affordability is the key, and just getting into, like, all of these things, it's a habit. Oh, I'm at the airport. Let's just offset this trip and mm-hmm. spend 60 seconds on it.
And Mayela, you brought up something too that was always been in the back of our minds.
Yes.
About, you know, people are driven by different interests, right? Some people are really concerned about habitat, the loss of habitat. And a lot of these projects have a dual function. Not only do they allow for carbon offsets, but they allow for the protection of endangered habitat. So some people may be more motivated by preserving habitat, which can also be done through the Good Traveler program as well. And some of the issues that we see having in the Amazon, those type of projects have multiple values.
That's an excellent point. And you made me think of another challenge that we can challenge our listeners with. So there's the personal challenge. We can all go out and purchase our own carbon offsets when we travel. Then there's the organizational challenge of getting your company. And along those same lines, I and Paul, we're both former municipal employees, government employees. So a lot of cities they have climate action plans. And so I was just thinking, why isn't this a strategy that's in their climate action plans where whenever their city staff travel places, they're purchasing carbon offsets for the work that they do as well? So I think we could challenge cities to get involved as well. And you made me think of that when you were talking about the city of San Diego and their urban tree forestry program, because there are a lot of ways that cities are looking at reducing their own carbon footprints.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, though, because a lot of government entities don't necessarily, though the information is all public, like, what, you got all these people traveling in airplanes all over the world? What the hell's going on? You know, so that wasn't a problem for San Diego International. San Diego International offsets through the Good Traveler all their business travel. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the aviation industry. We understand that. You know, we want to support the aviation industry and to make it a more sustainable form of transportation. But there are cities that have interest in that, particularly in San Diego County as well. Mm-hmm. And we have started dialogue with those various jurisdictions. But again, I now live in Mexico with my wife.
And we live on the fun side of the wall.
Yeah, we live on the fun side of the wall. But I do want to – Steve mentioned something about San Diego International Airport reaching carbon neutrality, and I just want to say a little bit more about that and aviation industry's way of looking at how we can make air travel more sustainable. And this, I must admit, it really started in Europe. Europe mm-hmm. is way ahead of us in this area. Mm-hmm. But there has been an international effort called the Airport Carbon Accreditation Program, which airports – I can't tell you how many U.S. airports. I think it's up in the 30, at least 30 or 36 airports who are now signed up for this.
That's great.
And their ultimate goal is to reach carbon neutrality, which San Diego just, again, was the second airport following the first airport in the United States was Dallas-Fort Worth. So
I want to –
They got so much wind there.
Yeah.
We got great wind economic energy resources to offset.
But we should clarify, just because all these airports are making their ground operations carbon neutral, that's the carbon that comes from the deliveries and the construction and all that sort of thing. They're not offsetting the flights. That's down to the people that fly.
Right.
It's down to us, and it's down to the companies that pay for our travel.
Because we choose to travel.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, is there any last thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners on this topic?
I think I do want to say a couple of – actually more than a couple of words. I want to say a few things about this the fact that carbon offsets have got a bad name. And it is a kind of a complex subject. As I started to learn about it, there's layer upon layer of it. And there's different kinds of carbon offsets. There's the offsets that are kind of regulated under government schemes, which kind of are like a right to pollute, where these big companies are playing games with these large exchanges. And there's a lot of concern around that. And I don't really want to get into whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm a little skeptical about those programs. But what we're talking about is not that. This is a voluntary offset program where your money goes directly to these projects. And I know that some people look upon this as kind of a sin tax, something that, oh, well, if you can buy the carbon offsets, then you're not going to try and do the right thing. And I just couldn't disagree more. I'm not sure that I'm perfect, but, you know, I try to do the solar panel thing. We have the panels, we have the electric cars, we're trying to bike to work. And so certainly I think where we're coming from is just trying to live in the reality that we're not going to be able to eliminate everything that creates carbon. And so what can we do? Well, we can spend some of our money and make projects happen that wouldn't happen otherwise without us. And so how can that be a bad thing? Maybe some of the projects don't work, but most of them do. And so I think it's, as much as anything, as Paul mentioned, it's about raising awareness. It's making people feel conscious of the impact they're having and empowering them to do something about it. We don't have to wait for government to fix this problem. We can reduce what we can, and then where we can't, offset the rest.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And one area that the good traveler's been very successful in is offsetting conferences. Mm-hmm. So we started, again, it's one thing as an individual what you can do, but if you can convince an organization you're associated with to take action, it's a much bigger impact, right? So we put pressure on the trade organizations. One of them that the airports belong to is Airports Council International, and said, like, hey, you know, you have the sustainability conference. Don't you think the conference should be sustainable? And so they started to offset. And the beauty of it is they didn't pay for it. They had sponsorships pay for the offsets because people want to get that marketing value. Like, right, this company offset, you know, this or that. And that's something that we've also talked to other venues, that conference centers, where they can offer this kind of package. And there's a big impact when you're talking about a conference that 15,000 people.
Or an entire Super Bowl.
Right.
That's a big
yes.
That's a big, no, like, yeah, the Esri conference, for example. I mean, mm-hmm. How many people? Comic-Con, how many people go to that? If those kind of conferences could get, and the added value too is it educates people. Mm-hmm. About, oh, yeah.
What their impacts are.
Yeah, I guess I am impacting by coming to this conference, and I'm learning how those offsets are, and I'm learning about what renewable, what are these projects and how they do offset, and how, you know, these other forms of alternative energy. So I think it's a really important thing, both for the reductions, but both to get everybody on board, because again, it's not, No one person is going to solve this problem.
Right.
Right? Because we're all part of the problem.
Yes.
We're all part of the answer.
Very good point. And I just want to say, if there's any other experts out there that would like to get involved, or if you personally want to get involved with the Tiny Climate Challenge, we'd love to hear from you. So send us a Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter comment, or you can reach out to us at tinyclimate.com.
And a plug?
Yes.
Go to thegoodtraveler.org if you want to offset your travel. It's very easy. There's a calculator in there that you can figure out what your mileage impacts are going to be and how much to offset. And you can actually get registered in that program so that when you go back, you're already in the system and you can keep track of your own footprint.
Yes, it's super easy. And I will say the Good Traveler also has really cool social media. They're on Instagram and Twitter, I believe, and definitely on Twitter because I follow them, and Facebook. So you can take a picture of yourself and tag yourself and say, I'm a Good Traveler. I like to say I'm Mrs. Good Traveler. So that's your challenge, everyone, for those of you that are listening today. I look forward to hearing from all of you to see how it goes. That, I just want to close this out here. Remind you, I'm Maella Manassian, your host of Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Sending you all lots of eco love. Bye.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.